Welcome to the Guts Church Podcast. My name is Kennedy Shear, and thanks so much for joining us. Today, we have a great word from my dad, Pastor Bill Shear. If this ministry has changed your life, will you let us know? Send us an email to story@gutschurch.com.
My 34 and a half year marriage is still strong and thriving, and I'm married to Sandy Shear. Sandy's here. Hey, thank you guys for everybody it's interesting because my phone started, like 50 texts came at the same time, and I was in Dallas this morning, and evidently somebody posted something. So thank you very much, everybody that I did or didn't respond to via your text or the social media post, but thank you very much. It's an awesome opportunity for me to be able to break the bread of life with you, even though it's a special day, just because I look back and what God's done in our lives, and what I'm talking about is just the things that are built around us. It's interesting because I think that Guts Church is a place. And it always has been a church that you could come as you are. And it was practical in a sense, because in 1992, when we started 26 years ago, people didn't dress like this to go to church or to preach. And especially to be on a platform and preach. Matter of fact, I got hate mail from denominational headquarters that saw TV shows or things that we were on that I was preaching with jeans and boots, and how that was almost derogatory to God. But the adage of the church was come as you are. And it wasn't come as you are out on what we were wearing. It was come as you are with what was going on in your heart and your life. And I want to just tell you that an observation that I've just made in ministering at this church and leading this church is people are going through things all the time. And you might be here tonight, and you might say, man, I'm just going through something. I'm going through this deal. And you might have been going through, 2018 was a year that we're closing here in less than a month. And I believe 2019 is going to be a year of tremendous opportunity. And the responsibility that I'm taking for this church is that we're prepared for the opportunity that God brings in front of us. We're not going to miss one opportunity this year in Jesus' name. But when you think about it, that you're going through something. Man, I'm going through something. What if you just flipped one word, and instead of saying I'm going through something, what if you said I'm getting through something? Man, I'm getting through this. Because see, that's what God's word does in our lives. That's what God's word, he empowers us. See, God's all powerful, right? How many of you guys believe that? See, but how that works is that we communicate it to where that translates into our life, where God's power now is working through us. So instead of me going through something, no, I'm getting through it. And as we're getting through things, you know, the Bible says in Proverbs, the 29th Proverb, it says, where there's no revelation, the people cast off restraint. But happy is he who keeps the law. But see, the idea is this isn't just information that we get every Wednesday, every Sunday, this Friday morning at 6:30 for the men. The Guts Girls gives back. I'm sure Pastor Sandy's going to share a powerful message that's going to send people out into the highways and the hedges and bless people. But what this word does is this word transforms us. And it's revelation, not information. It's not just informative. It's not just something where it's like, you know, I remember when I first became a Christian, and I'm watching these people that had these big, leather-bound, thick Bibles, and it was King James English. It's like, how do you even understand that? And who would ever talk that way? And what people, it'd say, well, when you turn your Bible to 1 Peter 2:24, it says this, and they're flipping through their Bible, and they get to it, and just a matter of seconds, they get to it. And I'm like, how did you find that? How did you know that? Because it's not chapter and page number. No, it's book and chapter and verse. I'm thinking the whole first 6 months of my Christian walk, I'm thinking, why don't they just give us the page number? Let's just cut to the chase on this. Why make it difficult? It's not making it difficult, but it caused me to honestly investigate God's word and dig and find as much as I could find. And it's not just informational. See, it's transformational because it's revelation that God gives us. See, the revealed knowing, an intimate knowing of God, that's what revelation is. When somebody will say, well, you know what happened is I know that tragedy happened and God caused that in your life to teach you, or God allowed that to show you a struggle, and all that. None of that is reflective of God's heart, a Father's heart. None of it. Yeah, it's disappointing, and yeah, it hurts. But the bottom line is that we read God's promise and his word through his heart, through his nature, who God is. And that's what revelation gives us. It's not just us memorizing that verse. It's not just us being informed of what God's word says. It transforms us. And it feeds and it builds our inner man. But let me just tell you, I don't want to be a part of a people that we just cast off restraint. Man, we're not just risk takers that are throwing caution to the wind. We are getting through things. We are on a principled, purpose-filled walk with God to a greater place of living. See, and that's what God's given us. See, the idea about our life, and you think about what God's girls gives back, you know, that could start a revolution in our community. In Tulsa and Skytook and Sepulpa and in other places. Man, churches may be birthed because you're paying for somebody's gas, or you're paying for a meal, or you're, because the bottom line is we're not just driving down the road throwing money out the window. We're not just stopping with somebody that's panhandling and wanting a few bucks to. Sandy and I were just in New York City last week, and there was a man that had a sick dog laying by him. And the sign said, please help me. I need to take my dog to the doctor and get him some medicine or something. And I mean, people were crushed by that. And I'm thinking, that is a well-trained dog to lay there like that. You know, because there's a cynicism that we get where it's, well, what are you going to do with this money? What are you going to do? No, you know what? We're not doing that at all. All we're doing is listen, we're letting people know, look, God loves you, and we're a part of that love. See, God's powerful, but that power works through us. And the power that works through us is determined by the revelation that we walk in and that we live in, not just the information that we have of God's word. It's not a product that we're researching that we want to sell to people. I say this often and probably not often enough. I'm not selling. I'm just sold. This is life-changing. It's not just life-bending. It doesn't just contort us to get through life. It doesn't make us a square peg because we're a round peg to get into a square hole and it makes a square. No, you know what? It transforms us into the image of his son. That's what the revelation of God's word does for me in my life and you in your life. And that's what takes us from that place where it's like, man, I'm going through something, to, man, I'm getting through this. And see, that's what basic leadership 101 is. Basic leadership 101, in my opinion, is you walk into a situation that could end up bad, and you get through it. You get it in your rearview mirror as quickly as you can. See, and that's why though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we fear no evil. God, because you're with me. Man, what I'm going through right now, I'm not fighting this battle alone. It's not just a mental and emotional anguish that I'm in. No, you know what? Man, God's empowering me to get through this. Whatever it is. And let me tell you, what we have to be, and what I, honestly, if there's anything that I bring to the table ministry-wise, maybe a talent or a skill, it's just that people can look at me and point and say, dear God, if he can do it, I can do it. If he can do it, anybody can do it. And see, that's a reflection that we need to give people, is that if we can do it, man, anybody can do it. And see, you think about it, it's that you might think, well, but I don't have the ideas that you have or that other people have, and I'm not creative and I'm not all this. Let me just tell you something. Man, the ideas and the creative things that people have that we think that brings us to the elevated life. It's that we're hooked up with, listen, the Creator. That's what does. See, what happened in my life is I entered a different pool. And what is it? What's the expression, Scott? A rising tide, all ships rise in a rising tide. Well, see, what happened in my life is that, man, I came to the saving knowledge of Jesus, and the water rose in my life, and it's like, oh my gosh! So I was elevated. I'm telling you, the first 6 months of my walk with Jesus in 1979, the first 6 months, I was on one of those moving sidewalks that they have at the airports. I mean, I'm not trudging through life. I'm honestly just, it's like, oh my gosh, this is awesome. And I'm just sailing through life. Man, God, see, that's what God will do for you. Listen, if you put your delight in Him, because at that point in my life, all I wanted was more of God. All I wanted was as much of God as I could get. I didn't have any ministry aspirations. I just wanted to tell people about Jesus. Man, I didn't want a healing ministry. I didn't want a moniker. I didn't want a title. Man, we were a church about 6 to 8 months before I'd let people call me pastor, because it was so weird to me. Is this a church? Well, I don't know, because it's just an old warehouse with a metal door. There's no signs. A few years into us starting our church, a guy came up and said, man, that's amazing. It's so powerful in here. I'm like, I'm so glad you're here. Yeah, I've been looking for it for a couple months. Well, I'm glad you found it. He said, why don't you just put up a sign? I'm like, that's a great idea. See, so it's now listen, and this is something that's going to be incredible news for you that you've heard before, but tonight it's going to become revelation to you. The race isn't for the swift, and the battle isn't for the strong. So you know what? If the devil's lying to you, telling you you're not fast enough to run this race, and you're not strong enough to be in this battle, my response is you don't have to be. Because greater is He who's in you than he who's in the world. You guys with me on that? Greater is He who's with you. So what you're going through, stop thinking that way. Stop speaking that way. And start thinking, I'm getting through this. Man, I'm getting through it. I'm developing. God's doing incredible work in my life. In my life. In Luke, the 19th chapter and the 10th verse, the Bible says, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. The seek part, we get it, but the save part. Whatever you're going through tonight, you're saved. And you'll think, yeah, I know, but I need this. No, you're saved. The saved is that you've been rescued. You've been restored. You've been transformed. You listen, you've been made whole where there's nothing missing and nothing broken. If you come in and say, man, I've got needs. Who told you were needy? That's what God's response is to you. Adam and Eve, they covered themselves up. And God said, man, what are you wearing? What have you got on? He goes, well, I had to cover myself. Well, why? Because I was naked. He said, who told you were naked? Who told you couldn't make it through this? Let me tell you something. The battle you're in right now, let me just give you a little prophetic word tonight. You guys open to a birthday prophetic word tonight? How many of you guys are open to a birthday prophetic word? Listen, the battle you're in is going to be the easiest battle you've ever fought, because the battle's the Lord's. God's fighting for what fights against you. Well, it seems like everything's against me. You know what? I think that's a great place to be. Because if they're against you, they're against Him, because He'll never leave you nor forsake you. He will always be with you and always resource, and He will fight with who fights against you. See, that's the God that we serve. That's the revelation that we need to have. God is not sitting on a throne. You know what? He's given His Holy Spirit, the breath of heaven, into our life. And what does the Bible say? When the Holy Spirit comes upon us, what do we receive? Power, dunamis. See, that's what God gives us. What are you going through? It doesn't matter, because I'm getting through it. Man, I'm getting through this. You know, we should wake up every day with the purpose of Jesus at our aim. Man, the purpose of Jesus, that's my target today. Why? Because you're in a church, you're in a great church, that the adage is come as you are. You might say, well, I'm bringing some baggage. Man, bring it in. We'll help you. We'll valet. We're going to help you with those bags. Man, I'll tell you what, we're going to lighten your load a little bit. Man, just come as you are. This life only works with an authenticity of purpose. The purpose, it has to be you. This only works, let me just tell you, this only works if I'm me. If I try to be somebody else, if I try to fit someone's, let me tell you, when I try to fit someone's, what happens, Sandy? When I try to fit somebody else's expectation, man, it's like, who are you? What are you doing? Man, we are really careful, the ministry people that we hang out with. Man, because there's guys that are slick. Let me just tell you, I'm not all that slick. I'm not sure if I'm here selling slick to you guys that you're buying. See, and the idea of this is that, man, the company that we keep, and it starts rubbing off us. So you know what? I want to be with my people. Man, Paul got let out of prison, man, persecuted, beaten, imprisoned. Where did he go? He went back to his people. He went back to his company. See, but there's got to be an authenticity to the purpose of our lives. I'm not going to get through my notes tonight. I can already tell you. I got a mouthful. But I'll tell you this. The reason you have to be authentic is because the kingdom of God requires volunteerism. God needs volunteers. And I'm not one of those pastors. There's pastors now that, you know, it's trendy now not to use the word volunteer. I'm like, I don't have that misgiving about, but you'll say, yeah, but I've made mistakes. Yeah, that's why we're not hiring you. We're not going to pay you. We're going to give you an opportunity. That's what the kingdom of God is. And Peter said, you know, I got taxes I owe. I'm going to be in a tough spot. Jesus said, well, have at. He said, when, matter of fact, why don't you just go catch some fish, pay your taxes? He said, okay, it's a good plan. Well, how about do this? Because we don't have time for you to bring in a whole load. Why don't the first fish that you catch reach into its mouth, grab the money out of its mouth? Okay, you guys still, I mean, if you think about your Simon Peter. He'd fished all his life. He worked for his old man, his dad, and he'd fished all his life. And I doubt that he'd ever stuck his hand in a fish's mouth and came out with tax money. He said, the first fish that you catch, man, just reach in there and just grab that money and pay your taxes. And he's walking away. Simon Peter's walking away thinking, this is crazy town. That guy's weird. I could catch enough fish to pay my taxes. That's what I've had to do. But to reach into that first fish's mouth and pay my taxes, he's walking away from Jesus. And he's thinking, okay, the guy screws loose. And he says, whoa, 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 wait a minute. Simon Peter, Peter, Peter. And he's like, yeah, what? He goes, hey, pay my taxes too. See, you going through something? Man, I'm telling you, Jesus has the answer and is the answer. See, because what happened was he changed. Listen, the idea, and I've thought about this. I'm like, what's significant about that money in that fish's mouth? Why did he just, no, you know what? The purpose was elevated, Taylor. It went from Peter paying his taxes to now Peter paying Jesus' taxes. Do you see how that purpose elevated? That's what everything we do in our life, that's what happens, that's what it does when our aim is to hit the mark of the call of God in Christ Jesus. So this life only works when we're authentic, that you're who you are. Man, if you're a guy that makes a lot of money, make a lot of money. If you're a guy that wants to grow a good beard, grow a good beard. Man, if you want to get a tattoo, get a tattoo. Be you is what I'm saying. Don't get a tattoo to be cool. Don't grow a beard to fit in. Don't try to make money to keep up with your neighbors and the Joneses and other people. Because the bottom line is when it's the rubber meets the road in the call of God, the purpose in our lives. Are you ready for this? When the purpose of your life, when you step into that purpose, you know what your response to people is? Silver and gold have I none, but in the name of Jesus. Because none of that stuff matters. None of that stuff matters. God just wants you to be you in your skin. He's fearfully and carefully and uniquely made you. I've heard so many people that, man, I want to be the next Joel Osteen. I want to be the next Joyce Meyer. I want to be the next Darlene Check. Let me tell you, the world's already seen them. The world hasn't seen you yet. The world needs to see you. The world doesn't need another Joel. He's got that covered. Joyce got that covered. Sandy's got Sandy covered. The world needs you. And there's a fulfillment in life that we never access unless we engage in what's on God's heart, what's on Jesus' heart. You know, these guys up here playing music and singing, and you'll say, well, Pastor, man, that's great. These guys are worshipers. And I think at some level I really do care that they are. I really do. But there's one single purpose that I care about when they get up on that stage, and every single one of them can let you know what that is. To lift the room. Lift the room. You miss a note, you lift the room. You get a string, you string in your guitar breaks, you lift the room. Man, your voice gets raspy, you lift the room. See, what's going to happen, and this is why I wish I was one of those dramatic preachers that on cue could do things, but if the lights just went out and the power went out, and it's happened three or four times in the history of the church where there'd be a storm or something, it happened, huh, Sandy? And I'd be up here and there'd be no amplification, there'd be no lights, and I'm in the middle of my point, and you know what? I'm not going to let no amplification and no lights keep me from making my point. So I'm just going to let it rip. I'm just going to preach. And you know what happens? Every single time, there's a move of God in people's lives. You know why? Because silver and gold have I none, but in the name of Jesus. I'm telling you tonight, you're going to get through what you're going through. You're not just going to keep going through it because you're going to change the idea of how you see yourself, how you see what you're going through. Man, your values, what you value about life. Let me just tell you, when I think about what I value in life, whatever I go through, I get through. See, and that's the audacity that we have to have. Man, when it comes to the call of God, the gifting of God, Romans 12, 1 and 2, I've quoted it 1,000 times in the church. I hadn't for about a month, so I wanted to, I love these verses. It's my birthday. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the very mercies of God, that you present everything about you as a living sacrifice. In the margin of your Bible, above the word sacrifice, write gift. Because that's what it is. The gift that God put in you, you got to present it. a living gift, a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And don't be conformed to this world. Man, I'll tell you, it wears me out to try to conform. I can't do it. I'm not a good joiner. I don't just want to follow whomever. I don't want to fit my square self into a round hole. I don't play well with others sometimes. But I don't have to be conformed. God's called me, and listen, to be transformed. Transformed. Because it's not conforming is what I'm wearing. Transformation is who I am. Who I am is enlightened by the call, the gift. I just have to sacrifice my life to walk in that gift. That gift's not for me, that gift's for you. That gift's not for me, that gift's for you. That gift's for you, that gift, the for whomever. Well, God's called me to this people group. It's like, I remember when we started the church, and Sandy could tell you, probably Scott can remind, I mean, we'd have consultants, and they'd say, you know, the problem with Guts is you're trying to reach too broad a group of people. And you've heard Sandy say that for years now, we're not playing the racial, we're not playing the diversity. We're going to celebrate diversity in here. Celebrate it. You come in here and your hair's green, we're going to celebrate it. You want to dye your hair black and put on black makeup and white powder on your face, we're going to celebrate it. We're going to celebrate everything we can about you. But this consultant came in, and he finally said, you know what? There's two things. You've got to narrow your focus. You got to find, because you're like a radio station. A church is like a radio station. You got to find your genre. You got to be country, or you got to be rock, or you got to be rap, or you got to be, and I'm thinking, I don't see any of that in the Word. What I see in the Word is become all things to all men that you might save some. All things to all men that you might save some. He said, you got to narrow your focus. And then he said this. He said, you want to triple your church? And I said, yeah. He said, just change the name of the church. Guts is awkward. And I'm thinking about other names. I mean, he had me at triple. And I'm thinking of other names, and Sandy's sitting in there. See, Sandy and I were raised on two different sides of the tracks. And I'll let you guess on who was on the good side. But I'm sitting over there, and here's Sandy, who's proper, etiquette. I thrive in awkward. And I'm thinking of other names for the church, and Sandy said, whoa, what? He said, yeah, you just got to change the name of the church. Church at triple. She looked over at me and said, Bill, we're not changing the name of our church. We're Guts. That's right. That's what I told him. I said, you hear that? We're not changing the name of the church. And you know what? We're not narrowing our focus. And that day, I decided we're going to celebrate diversity. That day, I decided I don't want a piece of the pie. I want the whole dadgum pie. Anybody with me on that? I want all of God I can get. But see, what do we have to do, man? We got to sacrifice. We got to make sacrifices. And here's the bottom line. So much of this, we're thinking ministry is spoon-feeding people. Ministry is warming the formula up. Oh, I hope this isn't too hot for you. No, you know what? I think everybody in this room watching on the internet, I think every one of you guys can figure out the sacrifice that you need to make to walk in the gift that God has in your life. Every one of you can. It's just about doing it. And you know, maybe the things you're going through are because you're not operating in the gift that you are. Maybe. Now, It's my birthday. I'm going to tell it the way it is. You're going through things because it's self-inflicted, because you're not making the sacrifice to walk in the gift that you are. And the second part of this is going to be Sunday at our anniversary service. I had no way I was going to get through the notes, so I just started building Sunday. But I want you to know, as your pastor, and yeah, I may be needing a retread at 61, but I'll just tell you this, where it applies to you tonight, I believe in you. I believe that nothing can stop you. I believe that what you're going through is what you're going to get through. You know why? We didn't change the name of the church 15 years ago to make it more palatable. We're guts. We get through it. And we don't do it alone. That's going to be the main point Sunday. We are a team. I'm stuck with you. You're stuck with me. You got to cut and run to get out. Because we're not going anywhere. And we're going to fight the good fight of faith. We're going to finish our race. We're going to run with endurance. We're not burning out. We're not going into cruise control or autopilot. I don't know how to do that. I do know how to hit that throttle, though. We just have to access the horsepower that God's given us. I mean, God's put so much horsepower in our lives, in our church. We're a body. We are knit together. The kingdom requires volunteers. Oh, they want me to serve. They want to give me an opportunity to serve. They just want me to work for nothing. No, that's volunteering. And I'm just telling you, you build God's house, He takes care of yours. I'm telling you, there's opportunity for us. We just have to prepare ourselves. Whatever you're going through tonight, flip that the way you think, the way you speak about it. I'm not going through it. I'm getting through it. How many of you guys have something that's like that in your life that you're dealing with in your life and you're going through it? Yeah, man, I'm going to go through that. How many of you, raise your hand. How many of you guys, man, turn the way you think to, I'm getting through this. I'm getting through it. This isn't going to stop you. You're unstoppable. You think, well, but the devil's on me. The devil can't. If he could stop you, you would have stopped. If he could, he's just trying to kill me. The devil wants me dead. Yeah, he's trying to, and he can't. He wants you, and it's not going to happen. If he could kill you, he would have already. You were created. You were gifted, and you were inserted on this planet for now. Let's swing for the fences. You got a business in you? Man, let's get on our knees and cry out to God. Let's birth that business. You have ministry aspirations? I don't want to talk about ministry to prisons or orphans or families or to single mom. I want to do it. Man, go tell Pharaoh to let my people go. He ain't gonna listen to me. Go tell Pharaoh to let my people go. I don't really want to. Go tell Pharaoh to let my people go. Yeah, but I stutter. Go tell Pharaoh to let my people go. Oh, he's gonna say, look, he said no how many times? Go tell him again, let my people go. He lets his people go. Now here's Moses with 6 million people that was entering, he was entering the wilderness with all the spoils of Egypt. And he's like, oh, what do I do now? And you know what God said to him? Go. And I'll be with your mouth and I'll teach you what to say. It's not really a comfortable order for me. I wanna kind of ease into this going thing. I wanna make sure God's with my mouth. I want him to teach me what to say, then I wanna go. And that's not how God does it. He says, look, you gotta go. Man, God's doing a work. God's speaking to you tonight. That's why you're here. We're not taking attendance. You're not checking a box. You're here tonight because there's a purpose God has for you to live. Live his purpose. Man, I want to live my vision. Man, you serve another man's vision. God will give you your vision. And not just you serving your own vision, but God giving you a team of people to serve your vision. Man, you want to hear about the years of me serving other people's vision, other men's visions? Many years, decades. And you know what? It was all a choice. Some things I had a hard time buying into. It's like, oh my gosh. Some of the leadership was so weak, I couldn't stand it. But you know what? The word God gave me for each of those men that I served, just do whatever they need you to do. All right. You know what? That sounds, man, it's poetic. It's adventure. It's like, oh, I'll be obedient to that God, but doing it? And then for years doing it, shoot. God, how long do I have to be here? But you know what? It was all just cultivating things in me, in Pastor Sandy. It was cultivating in us. Because God had given us a vision of ministry that it was going to require a huge team. Man, the vision of ministry God gave me was a barn out in the woods. The tire tracks cut a path to that had people everywhere. Grabbing a hold of the purpose of God and not letting go. God, I pray a blessing upon every person in this place, every household represented here. God, I thank you right now. You make our crooked places straight. You're a light unto our path and a lamp unto our feet. God, speak to us. God, I thank you for the clarity of voice, God, that you speak to us with. And it's life-changing. God, we choose today to hear your voice and not follow another one. God's speaking right now. Kingdom just requires some volunteers. And I'll tell you what's awesome. The Bible says it doesn't matter to God to save by many or by few.
Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. If you'd like more information about the ministries of Guts Church, visit our website at gutschurch.com.